The following is offered by Discerning Hearts, a 501c3 nonprofit Catholic apostolate dedicated to spiritual formation through the use of new media. To download this selection, or to browse hundreds of other programs, or to contribute to our mission with a charitable donation which is fully tax deductible, visit our website at discerninghearts.com. What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, I was really thinking about our Lord's message of that sadness before the joy. I think the sadness is not the gospel today, in the sense that you are looking forward to me dying, but I'm going to rise again. And you're sad. Listen to how Jesus is so compassionate with his apostles. He realizes that when he leaves this supper, they're going to abandon him because he's going to have to die. And they have this gloominess over them. And so many times in life, this happens. How does this happen today? What's going on today in the things that occur to us? Jesus said to his disciples in the 16th chapter, he's preparing them for the cross. I tell you most solemnly, you will be weeping and wailing while the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. A woman in childbirth suffers because her time has come. But when she has given birth to the child, she forgets the suffering in her joy that a man has been born into the world. How our Lord, as a man, knows this sorrow. He must have observed this so often. So it is with you. You are sad now, but I shall see you again. And your hearts will be full of joy. And that joy no one shall take from you. When that day comes, you will not ask me any questions. What's that like? You know, what is he talking about? You know, I was just recently with Barbara Kay. She was an alcoholic, and years ago, she and I got to meet each other. I just loved her. And she had two little children, Candy and Andy. And they used to go to the AA meetings with her. And we were there, and she was so much of an inspiration to me. And she was so wanting to be sober. And she was. And she was one of the most powerful people of my young life in introducing me to AA here in this area. And this must have been about, 40 years ago. At that time, her children would come to the meetings with her, and we got to know each other quite well. Our lives drifted apart, and I haven't seen her for years. About 10 days ago, I found out that she was dying, and she had been alienated from her children for years. They hadn't come. Her heart was sorrowful. There was mourning, and she was so full of joy. Her children, who had gone away for all those, she hadn't seen them. And when I used to ask her about them, now that she was dying, her alienated son returns. Her daughter shows up, and they surround her. Your hearts are so sad. But what I saw in that reunion was joy. It was like a new birth. And she closed her eyes in death, and she opened them up to eternal joy. In this life, the suffering, the dying, precedes the resurrection. There can be no joy. And this is eternal happiness for her now. The many sufferings, trials, difficulties that she had during her life. And I was just talking to her sister yesterday. And what a joy came into all their hearts at her death. It was a new birth. Because of Pentecost, because in her, and she truly came to know that she was Jesus, and that the suffering and that she had gone through, the trials and the difficulties and the reunion and the love and the compassion is the suffering, the dying, and the rising. That's what Jesus is talking about here. In this life, he's saying, there will be a joy. Listen how he puts it. When this happens, in her joy, this mother, no one can take from her. So it will be with you. You are sad now, but I shall see you again. What must be the resurrection? What must be the suffering, the dying, and then the reunion? I shall see you again, and your hearts will be full of joy. And that joy, no one will take from you. She had many, many questions, many times as we went through the suffering and the dying and the rising. But when that time comes, when that day comes, you will not ask any more questions. So as I was speaking with her on her dying bed, you're about to enter into glory. You're about to enter into a new life. Around you here are those that you loved, have been reunited with here. But now you are about to be reunited in an eternal embrace with him who gave you life, with him through whom you have eternal life. Jesus suffers and dies on the cross because he wants to bring each of us into his life of suffering and dying. He is telling us very clearly, every one of us is going to suffer and die. This Joe, who is an alcoholic, he has been for 18 months, terrible pain, anguish. He fell off the wagon. He fell back into this insobriety that he has had, and he began to do drugs again, and he was awful. Suffering that he went through, and his wife, and his child, and the breakup of that home was just so sad to see after all those years that he had. The mourning was there, the agony, the sadness that our Lord is talking about. But now he comes and he's back in jail. He's not drinking. He's gone through a program. He comes out of the jail and he goes through a halfway house and he's being reunited with his family. So it is with you. You are sad now, but I shall see you again. And your hearts will be full of joy. When I saw his sobriety, when I saw his here going again to confession, when I saw his reunion with Jesus in his suffering, in his pain, in his awareness of his union with our Lord, and I saw the forgiveness of his wife, the union and reunion with his little child, 3 years old. What joy. After the suffering, it's really almost like a new birth. When his eyes are opened again in grace, and he sees the truth of himself, of his wife, of his child, in peace, in truth, and in love. After suffering in this life, there's always suffering and dying and resurrection. But after eternal life, there is eternal peace and happiness. Can there be for each of us, whether we die and go to eternal life, or whether we suffer and die and rise again in this life to new grace, can there be for each of us this time for joy in this world? Yes. And there can also be joyful freedom. Listen to Paul. He is not yet at the point where he is going to die for Christ. In the Acts of the Apostles, in the 18th chapter, we have this account of his life at Corinth. He goes through trials and suffering and rejection by the people of that day. At that particular time, he was strongly being opposed by the Jews because they were Judaizers in that first Christian community in the first century. But there are many opponents today in the church. There are those opponents in the 5th century to Jesus and his message, in the 10th century. And there were many opponents in the 16th century when Philip Neri came along. And many of our opponents are right within the church itself. So these in this epistle, in this Acts of the Apostle, they're Jews. But what about those of Philip Neri when he came to renew the church in Rome? He had tremendous opposition. So Paul, like Philip, is bringing the grace of God into Rome. Paul is bringing it into Corinth. Listen to what the Lord tells him. And this is what I believe the Lord told Philip Neri. At Corinth, one night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Speak out boldly. Do not allow yourself to be silenced. I am with you. I have so many people on my side in this city that no one will even attempt to hurt you. So Paul stayed there and preached the word of God among them for 8 months. But the opposition has to come. But while Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a concerted attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal. We accuse this man, they said, of persuading people to worship God in a way that breaks the law. Before Paul could say a word, Gallio said to the Jews, "Listen, you Jews, if this were a misdemeanor or a crime, I would not hesitate to attend to it. But if it is only quibbling about words and names and about your own law, then you must deal with it yourself. I have no intent of making legal decisions about things like that." Then he sent them out of the court, and at once, they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue's president, and beat him in front of the courthouse. Galileo refused to take any notice of it. After, Paul stayed on for some time. Paul was completely protected here. God is constantly protecting us. He's constantly giving us the word. Do not be afraid. Do not be kept silent. Philip Neri in the 16th century had terrible opposition from church members. And they were just awful in Rome. Rome needed such a complete conversion. The church was so saturated with worldly leaders that Philip Neri went down into the catacombs to make a retreat. And while he was there praying, the Holy Spirit came into him. He actually saw the Holy Spirit like a ball of fire enter. He saw it, a ball of fire enter into his mouth. It went right into him. And actually, he swallowed it and he had to lay down on the ground. It was like burning within him. It set him on fire, just like Paul in the first century. In the 16th century, the church needed Jesus. Who was Paul? Jesus. And then they killed him outside the wall, but not now. His killing was delayed. And that freedom that Paul had, do not be silent. Speak out, no matter who it is. Those Jews did not intimidate him. Those who are higher up in the church that were corrupting the church did not intimidate Philip Neri. We have the same thing in our day. The same thing. God is saying to us today what he said to Paul. Don't let yourself be intimidated. Speak out. Do not be afraid. And don't be silenced. Speak out the fire and the divine love in today's world. There's always going to be failures in the church, that is, of living that divine life. But call everyone to that union with Jesus Christ. By Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection, we have been called to union with Christ when he ascended into heaven. And we are in that time of preparation for Pentecost, reminding ourselves that it was the Holy Spirit who, like a ball of fire, came and caught fire to not only Paul, but also to Philip Neri, and also to John Paul II, and also to you and me. We are waiting for Pentecost, that day on which we will be set on fire. What is that fire? It's the life of Jesus. I, by my baptism, by my confirmation, by my ordination, you, by your baptism, by your confirmation, by your marriage, we, by our union with Jesus through Holy Communion and the Eucharist, we are that ball of fire that has set Paul, Philip, and all of us on fire. We have that divine life, which is his. They have gone on before us, and the saints are in heaven with the angels, glorifying and worshiping God this very Pentecost, 2017. We are looking forward to an entirely new Pentecost. Don't be sad. Yes, you are sad now, but rejoice. There is a joy that I was just thinking of Barbara and so many who have gone on before. They have no more questions. They're just with him, and they will be for all eternity. Jesus has opened up heaven to all the earth. We have a mission. That's what Pentecost is, to bring that divine life to everyone in this world that we can preach it to and teach it to. Do not be silenced. Do not be afraid. Preach and proclaim the good news to all the world.
That's a beautiful story you told of your friend Barbara, and how wonderful that reunion with her children took place, and she was able to experience that. For many people who may be listening to you now, the type of reunion in love with family members may not be possible. Maybe there's particular blocks. Maybe there's an isolation that happens. You know, there are family members who may long to be able to do that with an estranged family member, but for whatever reason, their hearts are cold. Sometimes that suffering doesn't happen before the one passes. What would you say to those souls?
If you have an unreconciled situation with someone who is dead, if there is in your heart a love for that person, and I believe there would be, and maybe you didn't get a chance to reconcile with that person. I remember one person who came to me, and he had actually was the reason why his father committed suicide years before, because of what he said to him. His father hung himself. And I said to him, you know, your dad is right here now. When he died, he was remaining very close to you because he's been asking you to forgive him. And you have a desire to forgive him. Reconciliation can actually come after a person dies by confession, because God sees the heart. When he says about to have in your heart forgiveness of everyone, today in a very special way in all the readings, especially in the office of readings, love one another, love one another. By this shall all know you are my disciples. The letters of John are being read. That love can be in your heart, and ask God to forgive you for any love you may not have had for that person by the sacrament of reconciliation. And so, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Once you go to confession, that reconciliation takes place. There is a reunion of you here on earth with that person who may be in purgatory, waiting for that reconciliation. Healing can come even after death. And so if you're unreconciled with a person, I strongly recommend confession and reconciliation. And this will take place even after death, because the soul, the person that you may be alienated from, is waiting for a reunion with you.
That really speaks of that experience of the communion of the saints.
Yes, yes. In fact, we can't be in heaven. If we're going to be in heaven, we have to love everyone. And we cannot have anyone that we do not forgive. That's what Jesus said. You must forgive from your hearts. And if there's any alienation in our hearts, then we are alienated just by that very fact. And when we have love for everyone, we are united with all in heaven and everyone on earth, because Christ is our reconciler. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that union comes entire to the entire world.
Final thought, Monsignor?
I think, again, it's go. God is the King of all the earth. All peoples, clap your hands. Cry to God with shouts of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, we must fear. Great King over all the earth. He subdues people under and nations under our feet. You see, God is sitting at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And all the nations are waiting to come under his throne, under his feet, in union with him, subject to his law. What is that law? It's love. God the Father, out of love, sent Jesus to suffer and die. Out of love, we are all being gathered by the Holy Spirit so that we can become subject. Our inheritance, our glory is from him, given to us out of love. God bless.
You've been listening to Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this program, or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.